Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. Matthew chapter 24. We were talking about the days of Noah. Actually, Jesus was. For as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man.
There you go.
Just going about our lives. Life goes on.
And Noah preached. How many years did he preach? 120 years?
Or something like that.
Like 120 years it was.
Longer than you and I put together.
You think?
And I suppose he preached the same sermon over and over and over again. How would you forget to mention the flood if you were preaching?
Well, you had the object lesson right there in front of you. I mean, as you're building it, the ark is right there. Well, what are you doing that for? Well, because there's going to be a day in which God will destroy you and the world unless you repent. You repent and get on this ark with me.
And here's the problem. Yeah, you said that yesterday. Yeah, you said that last week. Yeah, you said that last month. We're still here, Noah. I don't believe what you're saying.
That's right, and there's no water around. Right. What an idiot you are.
Not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, what a fool.
What a colossal waste of wood.
And, of course, the false Christ would say, Noah is a false preacher. Listen to me. I have the word of God. What we're doing is absolutely fine. And Noah is the one with the demon.
Right. I have the way and the word of life, and Noah the way and the word of death, when just the opposite was the truth.
That's right.
So, in the same way, Jesus says, it will be on the last day. People will be going about their lives as if the end will not come, as if what Jesus has said is not true. And they will be caught unawares.
That's right.
Unprepared.
Keep in mind that he tells this, he references the flood and Noah, again, to reinforce that no man knows the day or the hour, not even the Son, not the angels, but only the Father. So the incalculable, I didn't say that very well. They can't calculate when the last day will be. That's the point of telling this again as well. And so also with another thing that he says. That's verse 40?
40, yep.
Yeah. You got it?
Yep. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming.
There it is, see? Keep going.
You don't know the day. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Yeah, that was my point. That's the reason why he says these things about the flood and then about the thief in the night. Right?
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
And rather than pinpointing the time so that you can stay awake and meet the robber as he breaks into your house, rather, so that you are prepared at all times, you hear this word, and you are prepared. Mm-hmm. You know that the days are coming, that he's at the gate. Could be any time, any day. And so you live within the ark, safe for when the rain begins.
Yeah, that's right. I liken these parables, if you will, to this. Mom and dad tell the kids at home, and the kids are not little anymore. They're teenagers or college students. And mom and dad are going to take a trip. And the kids say, when are you coming back? And mom and dad say, well, I don't know. We could come back in about 10 minutes. We could come back in about an hour or two. We might not be back till later on tonight or early tomorrow morning. Or, you know, we might not come back for a week. We really don't know when we're going to come back. Now, mom and dad are really smart when they answer the question that way, because then the kids don't know when, and therefore, what kind of lives will they lead? Second Peter, again, remember? So the temptation to throw the big party, even with lookouts, is lessened, if you will. They say, well, we don't know when they're coming back, so we don't dare take this chance. Or the other way is, you know, we're just going to be ready. We just want to be ready for when mom and dad come back. And we're not going to be caught with our, you know.
Right.
Okay.
Just a side note. I wonder if my brother's listening to this.
Why? Did that happen?
Just recalls, just, you know, a little history there. Let the hearer understand.
That's funny.
Classic.
I was just making that up. I really didn't know that that happened.
Oh,
in
no,
your life.
It happens.
Okay.
Well, and the second son usually learns from the older
okay.
son. The older son makes the mistake, and the second son gets away.
This is not the last time, you know, Jesus talks about, you know, the flood. This gets picked up in the New Testament elsewhere. Peter does this again. Thief. Paul picks this up in Thessalonians about the coming of the last day when Jesus returns in glory, be like a thief in the night.
Right.
Okay. In other words, you don't know. You don't know when it's going to take place, but you need to be ready. You need to prepare. And how are we prepared? Repentance and faith.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that daily life of baptism, living in Noah's day, being put to death and being saved
yes.
through the waters.
Yes. Well, then Jesus goes on. I think it's starting verse 45. Is that where we're at?
Correct.
I got to turn my page here so that I get on the right verse. What's that say?
Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes.
Now, see, I got to interrupt you again. This is 2 Peter again, all over again. 2 Peter 3:11 to 12. I'm going to say it again. What sort of persons ought you to be in your lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of the Lord? That's what Jesus is talking about here. Or, in other words, Peter is saying what Jesus was talking about.
Right. He just preaches what's been given to him.
Yeah. And I think as pastors, we shouldn't be shy about preaching this and teaching this. But keep on reading, would you?
I'm trying to figure out where I was at now. 47, I think. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant? That's the disciple who is ready. That's how you're faithful and wise. And you again, to live your life in a certain way. I mean, you read the New Testament, it's full of this. Paul does it. Peter does it. John does it. They all do it.
Right.
All of the apostles and writers in the New Testament, they all do this. Jesus is coming. And not only that, it's not just isolated, but because you are baptized, because Jesus died and rose for you, and he is coming on the last day, what kind of lives ought you to live? I think, to a certain degree, that's missing in a lot of preaching these days in Lutheranism.
You know, and it's very simple, Brent, and I often use this. It's the twofold shape of the Christian life. And once again, our liturgy helps us with this. When we pray in the closing collect that you know, having received the Lord's Supper, that we might live in faith toward God and in fervent love toward one another. This is just the life of the Christian. Another way to say that is it's the life of the baptized. A daily repentance, when God repents us, right?
Yeah.
Putting to death the old sinful man, and then the one who lives in Christ for the sake of the neighbor. And that's contrasted here, isn't it? The wise and faithful servant as opposed to the unfaithful
yeah,
one,
the wicked.
One. Yeah.
So this, again, the point of Jesus is saying, look, folks, I am coming on the last day. I'm going to be the judge of the living and the dead. So be ready. Because there's going to be eternal consequences one way or the other. Don't believe? Well, what will happen? He will come on a day when you don't expect him, and an hour he doesn't know, cut him to pieces, put him with the hypocrites in that place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You believe? You're ready? You're prepared? All right. Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. Revelation 20, we live and reign with Christ.
Right, right.
Or Ephesians, he has seated us with him in the heavenly places or the heavenly realms. remember the apostles? They want all this power, and Jesus, yeah, you're gonna rule over the 12 tribes.
Wow. No, you also have here words that are spoken contrary to that false teaching that well everybody's gonna die and go to heaven too. He does talk about those who are not expecting the Christ. and what happens to them, and being cut into pieces and then thrown into the outer darkness, it says other places. But here, I like the language used here, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That eternal separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
Into the lake of fire. Their agony knows no end. I mean, there is a judgment, both, if you will, negative and positive.
Yeah, there certainly is.
A judgment to hell and a judgment to everlasting life.
And it goes back to what you were talking about earlier, about the twofold shape of the Christian life. Faith does actually give birth to works of love. And so faith is how you're ready, and that manifests itself in holy living, according to God's word. Holy living is living according to God's word, by the way, which is faith toward God and love towards the other person who needs your love. Okay?
Fully expecting Christ to come at any time.
And not worrying
about, is this the day? Is this the hour? Is this the day? Is this the hour? Rather, it lives this way. I'm in Christ. Therefore, okay, I'll just be about my tasks.
Christ
has it handled. I commend all things into his hands.
And the Christian disciple lives that way because they've heard the last day judgment verdict rendered at Calvary. It is finished. They have heard the last day verdict rendered positively for them in the holy absolution, in the sacrament of the altar, in the preaching of the gospel, haven't they? They know. How should I say this? They know that they're good for Christ's sake. He's forgiven them. That judgment has been given to them, and it's certain and sure. That frees you then.
Yeah, the last day is not unexpected because I've been taught daily what to expect because I live it
mm-hmm.
daily.
Yes.
His judgment.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, well, have we got time to move into chapter 25? A little bit?
Sure. Okay. Let's wade in. Let's dip our toes.
All right. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom, and 5 were foolish, 5 are wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then all those virgins, all of them, did you notice that? All of them. They all rise and trim their lamps. And I think in the Greek that rose, is that a resurrection verb?
Oh.
I think it might be. Verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. And the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And afterward the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. As you're looking up the Greek, this parable that I just read makes clear that the disciple whose life has been made the evening before the festival dare not luxurate in this hope. In other words, my point is, that's a fancy way of saying it's time to live responsibly, be ready. The disciple lives and hopes as a member of the church. The church can't be ready for him. You've got to be ready for yourself. So each person moves toward the end in personal responsibility and individual vigilance.
And just to put a bow on it, yeah, it is the resurrection verb. And
that's
what
I thought.
And it's a passive. They were raised.
Okay.
They were raised up.
All right.
Very interesting.
We might say more at this the next time we talk, huh?
Yeah,
just a little bit.
We probably could say a little more on that. So, as we end here today, once again, the faithful, who is the faithful servant? The one who lives by faith in God, fully expecting that Christ will come again on the last day to judge the living and the dead. And they've heard that judgment already. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.